Dear Father, we do pray that your word would not be chained, that your spirit would work through it like a hammer and a fire, convicting us, challenging us, teaching us, training us in righteousness. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me add my welcome to that of Ola's. It's great to have you here. And there is a sermon handout for teenagers. Hopefully you got one as you came in. If you didn't, there might be some still around. Have you got handouts? Hopefully. On Mondays, Tuesdays, Thursday mornings, through there in the Miller Hall, about 120 odd toddlers come and enjoy themselves for a couple of hours. Imagine the scene. It's 11:30 a.m. The toddlers have been playing around for an hour and a half. They've had their breadsticks, their bits of cheese, running around. They've had a bit of craft. They've listened to a good story, maybe from the Bible. And now it's about 11:30, and it's time for the big cars. Big cars meaning cars that toddlers can get into. And the helpers get the big cars out. The red car is sitting there. Little Tabitha goes and eyes up the red car. And she runs as a toddler runs for the red car. Little Moses also eyes up that same red car and runs for the same car. Only little Moses is not so little. And he pushes Tabitha out the way and shouts, "It's mine. The car is mine. I got there first." Tabitha starts crying. Her mum runs to her and says to Moses, "You can share with Tabitha." Moses starts crying. Moses' mum runs to it and says, "Moses got there first. He can have it first." And trouble ensues. A scene that goes on in toddler groups and family homes all around the UK, at least. Small children crying out, "It's mine." We all have a desire to own things, don't we? As soon as we're old enough to shout, "It's mine," we're natural takers. We're natural hoarders. If we don't have, we might try and take. Why do we do it? Maybe we're not content with what we've got already, and we desire to possess things that others have. We want what's theirs. Maybe it looks a bit better than what we've got, and so we take. Maybe we don't really have enough, and maybe as Christians we're not trusting God to provide, the God who has everything, to provide for us in our need. Why do we do it? Well, we'll get into more of that. We take matters into our own hands and we take. We want stuff and we take. And God says to his people Israel, "You shall not steal." Four words, as well as the rest of the Bible, which teach us a huge amount about our possessions. What we should do with them, our money. Let me ask you a question. What is wrong with stealing? What's wrong with stealing? Maybe you've just walked in here. You're not a Christian. Let me ask you, what is wrong with stealing? Why shouldn't we steal? Here's another question. Is it okay to have personal possessions? Should an individual have possessions for themselves? Maybe the government should own everything and give the same thing to everyone. The same kind of house, the same amount of heating, the same holiday. That's what the communists did. Or maybe we should all give everything away. Didn't Jesus tell us to do that? Give everything away. God's given us answers to these questions, some more clearly than others, in the Bible. We're going to see as we go through looking at the eighth commandment, do not steal. We're looking at Exodus in our morning services in the summer term, and we've reached chapter 20. We've got to the Ten Commandments. In the eighth commandment, you shall not steal. We need to remind ourselves that commandments are not given so that we can impress God, so we can earn his favor. They're given to a people who already have got his favor. Rescue comes before the rules, doesn't it? They're given to the people of Israel at Sinai after God's rescued them from slavery in Egypt. But the rules are there to help Israel in different ways. They help Israel live in a way that pleases God. To show Israel what kind of God has rescued them. A God who cares that he alone is worshipped and glorified. A God who rests and wants his people to rest. A God who has created every individual and will take vengeance on the person who takes a life. We've seen the Old Testament law was given to the Old Testament people of Israel. But now we're modern people. Maybe those are old laws for old people, and modern people don't need those kinds of rules. Maybe they're irrelevant. But we've seen that they're relevant to us for three reasons. They show us more about our God. If we love God, we'll want to know him better. They show us how we can please God. If we love God, we'll want to please him. And they've been fulfilled by our Savior Jesus. So they still apply to us, but just in a different way, as Jesus shows us. He summed up the commands in two commands. Love God with all your heart. Love your neighbor as yourself. So let's look in particular at this eighth commandment, you shall not steal. And we're going to see two truths and three responses to those truths, okay? Two truths. The first one is God owns everything, and yet he gives us the earth. Second truth, Jesus owned everything, and yet he gave up his own life. Two truths, three responses. Don't steal, work hard, give generously. Okay, so first truth. God owns everything, yet he gives us the earth. God owns everything. Just one chapter earlier, chapter 19 of Exodus, God says, if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations you will be my treasured possession. Listen to this. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Although the whole earth is mine. Or the psalmist in Psalm 24 says, the earth is whose? The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Why? For he founded it upon the seas. He established it on the waters. So God owns everything in heaven and on earth because he created it. But because of his love, he's given creation to human beings to rule it, to work it, to care for it. So have a look at Genesis 1:27. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it, rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over every living creature that moves on the ground. Then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth, every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They'll be yours for food. He gives them creation to rule. Or Psalm 8, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them. Yet you have made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. You've made them rulers over the works of your hands. He's made us rulers over the works of his hands. He's given us the world to work. What a gift that the God of the universe who created it has given to us. His kings, as it were, to rule his creation. And he's given specific property to individuals. So have a look at the story about Naboth. Probably haven't heard about him. Naboth the Jezreelite and his vineyard. 1 Kings 21:1. Here's a few verses from that chapter. Sometime later, there was an incident involving a vineyard belonging to Naboth the Jezreelite. The vineyard was in Jezreel, close to the palace of Ahab, the king of Samaria. Ahab, you'll know, not a good king. Ahab said to Naboth, "Let me have your vineyard to use for my vegetable garden, since it's close to my palace. And in exchange, I will give you a better vineyard. Or if you prefer, I'll pay you whatever it's worth." But, we won't read the rest of the story, but Naboth refuses to sell him the vineyard. It's been handed down from father to father to father to finally to Naboth. It's the family vineyard. It's the family land. You don't give away the family land. Ahab, King Ahab, goes home and sulks. His wife Jezebel, heard that name before? Yep, not a good one. Jezebel says, "What's wrong? Naboth won't sell me his vineyard." Jezebel takes matters into her own hands, arranges to have Naboth killed. Ahab takes his vineyard. What does the Lord say? This is what the Lord says. "Have you not murdered a man and seized his property? Then say to him," this is what the Lord says, "in the place where the dogs licked up Naboth's blood, dogs will lick up your blood, yes, yours." God cares when you take someone else's private property. So the Bible assumes that people will have private property. God's given it to us. Our houses, our land, our cars, our phones. God's given us that private property. So that's the first truth. God owns everything, yet he's given it to us to rule. The second is this. Jesus owned everything. And yet he gave up his own life for us. He was with the Father in heaven at his right hand, and he gave that up to become a man and to die for us. We saw this verse a couple of months ago. Philippians 2 verse 6. "Jesus, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross." Or Paul again in Galatians, "Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins." The Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins. Or again, Paul, 2 Corinthians, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich." God owns everything, yet he gave us the earth. Jesus owned everything, yet he gave that up to give us life. We have a giving God, a generous God, a God who has everything and yet has given it to us because he loves us. Two staggering truths, aren't they? Which lead to three applications, three things that should change in our lives. So the first one is don't steal. Finally, Tom gets onto the commandment, don't steal. But you need to go to those two truths first. Otherwise, we're just legalists. The God who gives tells us not to take from others things that he has given them. He's given different property to different people. Can we come along and then take that property from them that God has given to them? No. Of course not. That's effectively stealing from God, since he owns it in the first place. Any stealing is stealing from God. The Bible gives us lots of examples of different kinds of stealing. Stealing land, stealing property, stealing people, getting people into slavery. Exodus 21. Stealing from the helpless, from widows and orphans. Stealing from employees, James 5. Stealing using unjust weights. Lots of different kinds of stealing. Proverbs mentions stealing even if you are hungry. People don't despise a thief if he steals to satisfy his hunger when he's starving. Yet if he is caught, he must pay sevenfold, though it costs him all the wealth of his house. So you can understand why a hungry person would steal, but he still gets punished. Now today, most of us wouldn't walk into a shop and steal. Maybe some of your friends at school might do that. Maybe they've tried to get you to do that. But most of us would think that's wrong and wouldn't want to do that. But I think probably many of us might well steal when no one's looking, or from people who we think deserve to be stolen from, or people who are so far away off that it's so indirect as to be hardly stealing at all. Let me give you a few examples. Illegally downloading films or music off the internet. That's stealing. Tax. I doubt many of us use expensive lawyers to avoid tax in offshore accounts, but how about self-employed people? Tradespeople asking for cash? I don't know of a tradesperson who doesn't ask for cash. That's, something that enables you to pay less tax, isn't it? Stealing from the government, maybe by claiming benefits when you don't actually need those benefits. Maybe you can work, but it pays more to get benefits. Maybe that's a way of stealing. Stealing time from your company by not working hard during the hours that you are paid for. Checking Facebook when you're supposed to be working. Taking too long a lunch break. Checking the football scores when you're supposed to be working. Maybe this is stealing. Staying up too late so when you get into work, you're not working effectively because you're too tired. But I'm really poor. Does not the God who owns everything care for us? Matthew 6, verse 31. Do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Not riches, but what you need. But the government charged too much tax anyway. Who are you to decide that? You who use the roads and the hospitals that are paid for with taxpayers' money, who are protected by the armies that are paid for by taxpayers' money, who are ruled and governed justly in this country by governments paid for with taxpayers' money. Who are you to decide that? But it's only a few pounds here and there. God has given us what we need. Do we not trust him to give us rather than taking a little bit here and a little bit there where we can? You shall not steal also means standing up for victims of theft. Where we see injustice, richer people oppressing poorer people, we can stand up for the oppressed. Maybe a bad landlord taking advantage of someone who can't read and doesn't know their rights and throws them out of a house. Maybe a landlord who sets up a house for people trying to recover from drug addiction. The landlord just takes advantage of them, charges too expensive rates, doesn't help them recover from drug addiction. Maybe the people who take advantage of old ladies and con them out of their life savings or con them out of their pension. There are plenty of people who pick on the vulnerable, the poor, the illiterate, the frail, the sick, and see an easy way of making money. And this commandment commands us to stand up for the victims of theft. So the first application, don't steal. Second, work hard. We work hard because God has given us the earth to fill and to rule and to work. So working is one of the reasons why God has made us. That's why we have this urge to work. God's made us for that. He's given us energy so we can work hard. If we're working for God, we'll want to work hard. If our God is a giving, a generous God, we'll want to work hard to please him. So we work hard, willingly and joyfully. Now, of course, not everyone can do that in this broken, spoilt world, but we look forward to the new world where we'll all be working hard with God in a glorious new creation where work will be fulfilling and will be pleasant. Now, why is Tom talking about work in a commandment about do not steal? Well, Paul gives us the answer. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28. Paul is applying this eighth commandment to New Testament Christians. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands. Why? That they may have something to share with those in need. The principle is either you take from others or you give to others. But to give to others, you've got to have something to give. And so to have something, you've got to work hard. Don't steal, but work hard so you can share with those in need. God's given us the earth. Jesus has given us life. Are we going to be takers? Or are we going to be givers? Now, the Bible's very clear about working hard. Proverbs in particular. Or Paul, speaking to the Thessalonian church, in both those letters, he talks about idleness and working hard. So here's the second letter, chapter 3, verses 6 to 8. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we command you, brothers. He makes it a command in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is serious. Brothers and sisters, keep away from every believer who is idle and disruptive and does not live according to the teaching you received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example. We were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's food without paying for it. On the contrary, we worked night and day, laboring and toiling so that we would not be a burden to any of you. Working hard means we can provide for ourselves and not be a burden on other people who have to provide for us. Working hard means that we can provide for others and be generous to those who are poor. Now, linked to working hard, we won't go into it because of time, is using what we have been given responsibly, being good stewards of what we have, of our money, of our houses, of our phones, of all our possessions, using what we have been given by God responsibly because it belongs to God anyway. He's given it to us in the first place. But let's move on, and you can ask questions about that afterwards if you want to. So don't steal, work hard, and finally, give generously. If God's given the earth to us, then everything we have ultimately belongs to him. And so we should be generous with it. If Jesus has given up his own life for us, then how can we not give everything? People who have received should be generous people. If we know Jesus, if we know Jesus who died for us, then we will be generous people. And if we're not generous, then clearly something's gone wrong. Maybe we don't actually know Jesus. But should we give away all our possessions? Didn't Jesus tell us to do that? Well, he told the rich ruler to do that. He told him, but he didn't tell anyone else. In Acts 4:32, we read, all the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all that there were no needy persons among them. For from time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need. So I don't think that these verses are saying that everyone sold everything they had to distribute to those who had need. But they do say that from time to time, some people did sell large amounts of what they had to share with those who need. So that there weren't any needy persons among them. So I don't think that we need to sell everything we had, everything we do have. Although for some people, that might be an application. It clearly was for the rich ruler. But this is clear that it should be normal for us to be sacrificial, to be radically generous, for individuals to sell something and give large amounts to the church so that it can be distributed to those who have needs. Maybe a modern day equivalent of this is downsizing a house once kids have left home and giving the proceeds to church so it can be distributed to those who have need. Maybe annually looking at your expenses and saying, we don't need that monthly expense anymore. That £10 a month. And so an extra £10 a month can go to the church, to those in need. Or deciding, no, we don't need that second car anymore, or that second holiday anymore, or that extra money anymore, or the pay rise that comes in because of the promotion. That, we don't need that. We've survived already with that amount, that salary. The pay rise can go to the church, to those in need. It should be normal for us to give radically generously. And if we're comfortable, then I think we're not being generous. I think that's a conviction. I feel extremely convicted by that. I think my life is far too comfortable. You don't need to be wealthy to be generous. Listen to what Paul says about the Christians in Macedonia. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. In the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. They were extremely poor, and yet they were richly generous. Everyone can be generous. The generosity might look slightly different depending on our means. At Kensington, we've got a pastoral care fund where each year we distribute a few thousand pounds to those people who do have needs. If there was more money in that pot, we could help more people who are in need, and we could help those people who are in need more. Please do consider whether you can contribute to that pastoral care fund. It's not just money. If God owns everything, then what we have, our private property, belongs to God ultimately. And it should be used to share with those in need, just like the early disciples did. We shouldn't be like those toddlers who shout, "It's mine." In fact, we need to teach our toddlers that actually it's not theirs. It belongs to God ultimately, and they should be sharing like we too should be sharing. Our houses, hospitality, our money, our possessions, whatever it is that we own, doesn't belong to us. They've been given to us for a time, and God's going to ask us one day, how did you use your personal possessions? Did you see them as private property and put a keep out sign right there? Did you treat your house like a castle and draw up the drawbridge and say, keep out? This is where me and my family relax. Only when we go outside, then we're going to help and share. Our God is a giving God. Although he owns everything, he's given us the earth to work. His King, Jesus, has given us himself. He's given us his very life, that we may have life. Now, maybe you've never heard that before. Maybe this is the first time that you've heard about someone who has given something. Maybe you've grown up where people have taken from you, and they've taken some more, and they've taken some more. And you're used to a world where people just take, and you've learned that you've got to take to be able to survive, to look after yourself, because no one else is going to look after you. Maybe that's the world that you've grown up in. Let me introduce you to someone who doesn't take, but who gives, and who gives again, who's given us an earth, a world, a creation, to rule and to enjoy, who's given us his own son that we may have a relationship with the king of the universe. Does that sound like someone that you want to know? If you've got questions about Jesus, please do come and ask me afterwards. I'd love to chat more about him. Maybe you are a Christian already and you know this Jesus, this giving God. Are you trusting in him to provide for you? Or do you think that you need to look out for yourself? You need to keep what you've got, hoard that a little bit, save some for later in case times get tough, take a bit more from here, looking after yourself, because I don't know, God might not listen to me. Are we going to trust God to provide? The God who owns everything and who gives us everything. And are we going to share what we have generously so that there are no needy amongst us? And those of us who are needy, are we going to work hard so that you too have something to share with those in need? Let's have a moment of quiet where we ask God how he wants us to change as a result of what we've heard in his word today.